Halflings, it has finally happened. We have merch!
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The crowd does indeed go wild. We have been working very hard behind the scenes to make some excellent merch for you all, which is available to pre-order right now. Some of them will be available from the 3rd of October and the others from the 1st of November. We wanted to do this in time for the holidays so that if you know someone who maybe enjoys a bit of Three Black Halflings, you can get them a Christmas present or indeed for yourself. It's also a fantastic way to support the show. You basically have like a Unati pack, by the way, a Unati stickers pack.
It's true.
Pretty ooh, awesome. Unati stickers pack. I like this.
It's called the Suffer and Learn sticker pack, but originally it was called the Unati sticker pack.
Okay, good. I'm happy with the Suffer and Learn.
We liked it because it's like, then it's quotes.
Instead of just pictures of Unati's face,
several different expressions.
Yeah, it's weird because this is not a video show. You know what it is? It's visualizations of the audio track, or like Unati's audio tracks from some of her finest episodes.
Yeah. It's just the blocked out lines where she's peaked her microphone from laughing.
Exactly.
So the merch that we have available, we have a yellow collage hoodie, which has a mixture of designs and phrases from the show. The Three Black Halflings t-shirt, which has got an amazing design and the words Three Black Halflings. It looks so nice. I'm very happy with that one. Then we have the Outlaws and Obelisks poster. You can order a physical poster. A beautiful, gorgeous poster of Outlaws and Obelisks. Then we have a pin and then two whole sticker packs.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does this pin definitively answer the question of the official abbreviation for Three Black Halflings?
I think
Halflings?
It does. Because yeah, I think it maybe it does. Yeah.
We've been saying TBH. Should we swatch? Should we start selling swatches?
Should we start selling swatches?
We have to tell about the deal with Swatch. Black Halflings Swatch. The Three Black Halflings Swatch Watch.
But, you know, this is one of those things that has evolved over time. We're forming our brand identity, and I think 3BH is just a little bit better.
We have officially become a corporation.
We are a huge corporation with Jamal at the top.
Jamal is pleased.
First critical role, then us.
There is also a tip jar on the store. If you would like to, you can give us a tip, and some of the proceeds will go to the amazing Jonathan Charles, who made the music for Outlaws and Obelisks. As when you donate to the tip jar at any level, you will be able to download the music that Jonathan has made for Outlaws and Obelisks, and it, trust me, it is absolutely incredible. Like, you will want to listen to this
good.
Without us all talking over the top of it, because it's so so good.
I listen to it for fun.
Yes.
Like, when I'm on planes and stuff, I'll just play the songs over and over again on a
because loop. They're so good.
This is a true fact. Because they're real good.
They're really good.
Excellent tunage.
And some of the stickers I'm very, very proud of. I really think they look so badass, and I can't wait to slap them all over my office.
I love the Poochie Rat Bag sticker that is extremely late 90s.
Yes, it really is.
It is extremely late 90s.
Make sure you head over to store.dftba.com/collections/3blackhalflings. And if you would like to get yourself a discount, you can get 10% off if you are a patron on any tier. That is patreon.com/TBHalflings.
Woohoo!
Head over to all of our social medias. It will be plastered all over our social medias for a long, long, long time, I'm sure. But please support the show, buy some merch. It means a lot to us. And it would be really, really, really fucking cool to see some people, take some pictures in some Three Black Halflings merch. I'm so goddamn excited. Well, let's get into this week's episode.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, halflings. This is Jeremy, your friendly neighborhood DM, just letting you know that this episode of Outlaws and Obelisks has a content warning. Check the episode description for the exact content that we're warning you about, and if you do not wish to listen to the episode, we will be including a full description of what happens in the episode so you can keep up with the events of the show and avoid any content that you might find triggering. Thanks, and enjoy the show! And welcome back. That's not what I say. How y'all doing, y'all? Howdy, y'all. How y'all doing? Welcome back. This is your friendly neighborhood Dungeon Master, Jeremy Cobb, coming at you again with another great episode of
Outlaws and Obelisks.
And as always, I am joined by
Jasper William Cartwright. I play Tovo Reeves, and I'm starting to think that we should just leave this in because I'm finding it really entertaining that we just don't know the name of this show.
It's gotten to a point where I think it is the Mr. Plinkett voice, I feel like, is what makes the fact just like the insert name
here.
Just awkwardly.
And then the fact that everyone who's listening to this is going to be screaming the name of it,
yes.
Being like, it's this! Like,
you know what? Even when we find out the name of the show, we just shouldn't say it.
Yeah, we should. We absolutely shouldn't.
We should all say
it.
Our own versions of what we think the show should be called.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Ooh. I like this idea. Everybody come up with your own idea of what the show should be called, and as we cycle through, everybody will get to say their version.
Gunslingers and Gabies. Gay babies.
Ooh. Yes.
Hey, I vote for Gunslingers and Gabies.
The Adventures of Rust Bucket and His Friends.
Oh, that's where I was going to go. Onuris Budge and Friends.
Onuris Budge and the Pussycats.
Oh, nice. Akushar and the Halflings.
Oh,
Akushar and the Halflings.
I like that.
All right.
Love that.
Onuris Budge and the Budgerigars, surely.
Ooh, that's good too. But it's not just me and Jasper.
Nope.
There are other people here as well. We'll start. Unati, you're back.
Hey!
Please introduce yourself.
Hey! My name is Leandro Unati Lewis Nyaw, but everybody calls me Unati, and I play a mistress.
Don't say yet. Don't
Dearest
yet.
Dearest lady.
Insert name here.
Insert name here.
And well, Connie, we'll start with you again.
Okay.
Also, with special guests.
Special guest Connie here. Pronouns they, he, she. I play Hushu. Pronouns they, them. Everyone's favorite time wizard, Goliath.
Time wizard. We have to specify because there's other really popular time wizards.
Yes, Dr. Goliath.
Yes. This is the Goliath one.
Yeah.
Yes. And finally, last but certainly not least.
And I am Johnny, a slightly less special guest, playing Onuris Budge, who is less intelligent than his animal sidekick. Just a little piece of information there for you.
I just want to clarify, Johnny is only less special because he interacts with us and does stuff with us all the time because he's our resident bard, not because he's not special. Yeah. Johnny is very special.
Yeah, don't talk about yourself like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny, do me a favor. Don't talk about my friend Johnny like that.
Yeah.
Don't bash my friend.
Okay. Okay. We're gonna
anyway, we pick back up. You all have just seen a woman perched on a railway track, holding a Winchester rifle, taking aim at a strange, gooey, blobbish mass.
Can I just get one clarification? The way you're saying it sounds like there's elevation. Can I just clarify?
She is 20 feet in the air.
Beautiful. Is this like a wooden railway track, like a bridge, or is this like a shelf?
It's similar to like a whale. Yeah, it's like a railway track. There are no supports for it. They had like figured out how to construct stuff without like it requiring very many supports. However, it is not wooden. It is as you look at it, it's been transmuted. You can see a lot of it. It appears to be part like made of glass. Some of it seems to be made of metal. Like all of it, you know that they weren't constructed like this before. But because of the calamity, it has been transmuted. But catching your attention much more so is this ooze that is on the ground, this reddish, blackish mass that has spawned multiple humanoid figures that are looking up and calling to this woman. Neither one of them have noticed that you three are here. What is your intention? Let me ask the three of you, what would you like to do in this moment?
I think potentially we should help
that I'm tend to side with humanoids over gelatinous oozes.
Hmm. Yes, I'm on your page here, Tovo.
I guess so. I was just going to hang back and see what happened, but I guess I'll help as well. God, y'all really want to die today, don't you?
Nebit conks you with a wing. like, it gives you a look like, come on, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah, all right, I deserve that. Sorry.
Dude, be cool, man.
Be cool.
Well, then, I'm going to need everyone to roll initiative.
Yes, please. Oh my. Yes, please.
We're on the same level as the slime, right? Like, Unati's character is above us. Okay.
Yes.
I got a 21.
Ooh,
nice.
21 for the mystery lady.
Mystery lady
got... I got a 19.
We so in sync, Hushu. I got a 19 as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I got a 9.
Oh, Budge.
Okay, fine. Now you could take.
Now, yes. Now you take. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now you get inspiration.
I won't make you two roll it off because I know that Tovo has much higher dex.
I just have a plus one, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pales in comparison to Tovo's mighty plus four. And wow, you know what? You know what, Budge? Nebit rolled a natural 9. So you know she does go before you because she does get a plus 2.
Your animal companion does go ahead of you.
But yeah,
great.
You know what, Budge? You'll get yours, buddy. One day. One day. You'll get to.
One day I'm gonna do something really cool, and you're gonna be like, he's so cool.
But before you get to do that cool thing,
everybody
we will
else
jump to you, Unati. Yes.
Yeah,
Unati, you have taken aim with your Winchester rifle. Mm-hmm. You see the figures calling to you.
Mm-hmm.
They say, come, please help us. We have so many questions, please. We're so confused.
Mm-mm.
What would you like to do?
Now we're all back together. We can do a hell no to the no, no, no.
Okay, cool. So, like, I'm in here with this sludge, and I'm barreling down at it. And my character's just going to go, hell no. And I'm going to fire two Eldritch Blasts.
Yes. Roll me two attack rolls with disadvantage.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh, what?
But why? So the first one is a 17.
Okay.
And then the second one is a dirty 20.
Oh. With disadvantage?
Uh-huh. 11 and a 13.
Good lord.
Well,
you love to see it, folks. You love to see it. People with good stats. So, you take aim.
Yeah.
I think both of those hit. Let me make sure.
Okay.
Yeah, both of those hit.
Awesome.
You fire, and I think the rest of you see that as these... Well, first of all, describe your Eldritch Blasts to us.
I whip out... I've got my Black Obsidian Winchester in my hands, and I mutter, hell no. And out of this gun shoots like something that like has the sensation and color of death. Like it's black but deep purple, but on the edges there's like flames, like slight like blue flame, as these two shots come out.
Did you just say I fire death? Like,
yes.
Like that was such a cool. Like I was like, shit, damn, that's okay. Yeah, nice, just nice. I shoot death out of a black Winchester rifle. Okay,
hell
fine.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
I imagine these blasts as being kind of like spiky and jagged,
yeah,
like heading
yeah,
towards just.
Yeah. Yeah.
As they head towards this creature, are you aiming for the main body or for the little the humanoid figures that have?
I'm gonna go for the main body because I feel like that's the sweet spot, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay, you. You see the rest of you see that as these things get within 5 feet of this creature, the area around it starts to warp. And they start to, you see them like get stretched out, and start to curve around this thing and then curve down sharply and blast into its body. Go ahead and roll damage.
I got Agonizing Blast when I cast Eldritch Blast, so I'm going to go 1d10.
So that's 2d10 plus 8, right?
Yeah. 2d10 plus 8. Damn. So, whoa, I am fucking winning today. Wow, 2 10s, 28, baby.
Whoa.
28.
Good first.
What an entrance.
Oh my
what
God.
An entrance.
What an entrance.
Yes. You see them just, as they hit this creature, you see the creature like buckle, and then just, it's almost like time sort of reverses, and comes back to where it was, but it definitely took damage.
Okay, cool.
Like, it's not that the damage is undone.
Okay, I know I'm made of metal, but that was metal as fuck.
Do you have any bonus actions or movement?
Yeah, like what I would like to do, as I see it come back, as a bonus action, I'm gonna cast Spirit Shroud. As I do that, I call forth these dark, like almost like death, like spirits as well with their jagged flames, and they flit around me. And until the spell ends, any attack I make deals 1d8 extra damage when I hit a creature within 10 feet of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what do these like spirit, like these death spirits, look like as they're rotating around you, protecting you?
They kind of look like me, like in their visage, like, you know, like people like me, like they look like my descendants and other creatures as well, like maybe things I've hunted in the past, but they kind of like blow around me in like the shroud of like smoke. You know that painting, you know, Dante, Abandon All Hope, Oh Ye End of Year, like them limbs pulling out of hell, like it looks like that.
Just a tangle of limbs, just like, and these creatures just...
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. So that's your turn.
Turbo might be experiencing love for the first time. Just, damn.
Turbo's just looking at the. Suddenly, life has new meaning.
You see, Turbo just walks, just like eyes glazed, just walks out towards the ooze, just like.
There's beauty up above. He's just like walking out.
And then I realize that Tefrara had a real thing for the whole vibe, and I'm like, whoa, wait, that's not me.
Who's actually interested
in this
person?
Oh, we love a queer queen.
Yeah, I don't know if it's me. I don't know. I'm so confused.
It both is and isn't you.
Yeah.
And she goes, Tovo, get your head in the game.
Right. Yeah, okay.
It's your turn, Rust.
Okay, here we go. In which case, I would like to... can I DM question? And I'm happy if you don't want to give me the answer to this, but does this creature count as one creature, or do I get the feeling this is, like, these people on the ends are separate creatures?
You roll me an insight check. We'll say this is a bonus action if you're willing to use it.
Oh, I'd rather not use a bonus action if that's okay.
Then don't use a bonus action.
Fine.
You're just looking and you're not entirely sure.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that's fine. I think I'm going to... I am going to drop a hunter's mark on this here creature.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything within 15 feet of me that I could hide behind?
I would say that you have just come out into like the mouth of this more expanded area that's like as it's been dipping down. So you're kind of on an incline. This thing, I'm going to say, is 30 feet just straight, like not
ahead.
Straight down, but at an angle. Yeah, 30 feet ahead of you. If you were to like try and duck behind some rocks, you could give yourself maybe half cover at best.
Cool. That's kind of, not looking for like cover necessarily, just more like a place for me to kind of duck behind. Basically, what I'm going to fire at this thing, but I don't want to alert it to the other two. If that makes sense. So I'm going to move behind this like rocket, like, you know, a move away from the group, basically 15 feet. And then I will place Peacemaker on the rock to steady my aim, and I'm going to take 2 shots.
Okay.
Roll those
attacks. Also with disadvantage.
Well, I do believe with Deadeye, I get advantage. So
on the first one.
On the first one. So I will get... This will be a flat roll for the first one. And I'm obviously pumping my sharpshooter into this. That is 22? 22! Hey!
22 with -5 and disadvantage?
No, that's a flat roll, because that's my Deadeye roll.
Oh, a 22 with a minus 5?
I rolled a 19,
These rolls, folks. Disadvantage just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Go ahead and, yeah, that you shoot the first one. Go ahead and roll your second attack.
Okay. My second attack, this will be with disadvantage. So I'll use the Black Lives Matter pair. Ah, that's a 19 and a 2, so the second one is defo gonna make. In fact, I'm gonna use my inspiration die.
Hey!
Thank you, Jeremy!
To make that a flat roll.
12 plus, I will still do the sharpshooter and try and hit this thing, as I'm hoping its AC is not more than 15.
So, you, with the first shot, it starts to, again, like, the bullet, you see the bullet sort of, like, warps in midair. Like, you see it slow as it, like, because you can only see the path of the bullet, but it, like, and then zips around in a corkscrew and poof into the creature. The second one, poof, as you shoot it, as it reaches the creature, you see the bullet starts to just come apart in midair like dust. Like,
whoa.
That's like suspended. Sort of like if you drip, it's sort of if you were to like throw, I guess, food coloring into a bucket of water and you could see like what the food coloring looks like as it poof. That's what this bullet looks like in midair as it then crumbles
dissipates
harmlessly. But you do get damage for the first one.
So the first one is going to be a total damage of 17 plus my d6 for Hunter's Mark, which is a 4, so 21 points of damage, please.
People are strong. People are very strong. Yes, people are very, very strong.
Which worries me, because then there'll be punishment later.
Oh, trust me, there's already been punishment.
Okay.
We already done got slapped around in the first episode.
Okay, so at this point, the creature looks up at you, Unati's character. And I want you, please, to roll me a wisdom saving throw.
I have advantage on wisdom saving throws.
Yes, you do.
Oh, advantage. Good.
That is 18.
Ooh, okay. So you see the smaller of the two figures step forward and say, "Mommy, why is the sky black?"
Oh.
And you, like, feel this, as it's this, I should describe, this thing looks like it's the same color as the blob that's on the ground, and has a, it has, it's as if somebody stretched latex over a face. So you can see, like, the indents where there should be eyes, but there are no eyes. And you can see the indent where there should be a mouth, but it doesn't go in all the way. And its mouth doesn't move as it speaks to you. But with an 18, you manage to resist the effects of whatever that was. So that is that turn. It is now Hushur's turn.
Okay, this thing is freaking horrifying. So Hushur is going to stick with what they were trying to do with the mind spike thing first, I think. So they are going to reach for this long sword strapped to their waist, right? And just like take out the blade just a little bit. And we just sort of see like a shimmer of steel glowing. But then the scroll that's attached to the red tassel at the end of this hilt elongates with this sort of like black light, and it becomes larger and unfurls, like floating in the air in front of Hushur, like Tovo and Budge and Nebit have seen. And we see like calligraphy, right, in their like native tongue, like float off the surface of this page as they like make gestures with their hands to like cause a different set of characters to rise to the top. And they are going to cast, let's see, Mind Spike at third level at this thing. As like a set of characters, like glowing black, light up, and it has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Yeah, okay. I feel like Onati's character, if she clocked that on the corner of her like weird eyes, just like, "Nah, I got a crush. Who dat? No, I'm kidding.
Yes. So it's a wisdom saving throw. What's the DC on this?
Oh, sorry about that. 15.
15. Okay. It's saved. What happens with a success?
On a failed save, it's half damage.
Okay.
And I still also always know the target's location until the spell ends, but only while we're on the same plane of existence. Actually, sorry. That was on a failure. So on a success, I don't know this. My apologies. Okay. All right, so I'll roll damage and we can have that. 16 halved, so 8.
16, so 8. Okay, and as you I imagine, similar to like the black and white spike that it arced out before, pierces into this thing. I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
Okay, before that happens, can I use my chrono shift to force it to make that save with disadvantage? Because I can use this feature after I know if it saves or fails.
Let me look at the language of it real quick.
You can make this decision after you see whether the roll succeeds or fails.
Okay, so it doesn't even specify, like, but before you find out what happens?
It does not specify that, yeah.
Well, I'm cool with that. Go ahead. You want it to re-roll?
Yes, it has to use the second one, so...
Okay.
Hopefully it's lower, hopefully.
I guess it just rolls one more. Does it roll the whole roll again? Or does it...
Yes.
Oh, no, it just re-rolls. Yeah, it re-rolls.
Yeah, it's like a disadvantage.
So I'm... Yeah. Okay, let's see. This time, what was the DC?
15?
This time it fails.
Okay, good. Good, 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 good.
So I think going to be 16?
I think what it looks like is like a clock opens up like in front of like Hoosier's masked face, right? And like you see their eyes like spark underneath like the mesh holes of their mask. And the clock, it's sort of like Sparky Sparky Boom Boom Woman in Legend of Korra, where like just like a spike like shoots out from this clock face and like pierces through the gelatinous body of this horrific creature, right? And we see the same clock face appear on the side of this creature's body, a glowing white to like mark that it's been branded, right? So it's gonna take the whole damage, which is 6,
yeah,
which is 16.
Yep. 16. And I'm now going to need to make you that saving throw with not advantage,
with
just
not
a regular old wisdom saving.
Oh boy, okay. Okay, that is a 19. Does that save?
It just saves. Hoosier, as you, your mind spike pierces into this thing and you feel it, like it starts to like vibrate, especially as you like force time back and it succumbs and you drive it deep into this thing. You hear a chorus of voices crying out at you. So many that you can't even recognize, like you can't distinguish between them, but it is a roar of voices, and it very nearly overwhelms you. You can feel like the voices, it's as if something is flooding across this connection, trying to get into you, and you just at the last second manage to like, no! And like you manage to resist these things making this connection with you. Like you manage to just hold firm, but just barely.
Okay.
Yes.
I really like that. I think like Hoosier like grunts and like shakes their head, right? The veil around their hat sort of like shifting under like the toss of their neck. And if I may just flavor the chrono shift, I liked what you described as like, I think what happens is we see the spike like maybe like it forms like a hole in the middle and like it doesn't hit it, right? But then like Hoosier just goes, I don't think so. And it's like it reverses time around it. And like the spike like does hit it in the end.
Yeah,
it like gets sucked back out the hole and then goes back in as it reforms.
Yeah, like
it's so
through
cool.
The back. Yeah, yeah. Everything like in that area reverses. Yeah.
So
cool.
So
and,
yeah.
And as a bonus action, I'm going to cast a cantrip because I learned you can't cast two level spells even if one's a bonus action.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast Soul Blade, and we see like Hushu draws the blade of their sword out like halfway. We see glowing sigils, like, in the same language that are glowing on their scroll, like, light up, bing, 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 with, like, black light along the silvered edge. So my weapon is now magical for a duration.
Oh, hey.
Damn. Yeah.
That is the end of my turn.
Jeremy, I'd just like to clarify really quickly that Budge and Nebit will have should have flat rolls for their attack rolls, because I've just remembered that I was hidden. We were all hidden before that round.
Yes, it's not really a matter of whether it can see you. It is a passive ability.
Oh, no, but you get advantage if you're hidden on a creature that doesn't know you're there.
It doesn't, in this particular case, it's not like the advantage, I guess in this case it would cancel. It doesn't make sense that it would cancel because this is a passive just
thing.
Oh,
it's like an actual like ability? Oh, okay,
like,
I see.
It's not even a matter of it trying to.
Look, Jeremy, I'm just going by the core rules of D&D. Advantage cancels out disadvantage, okay? Please continue,
okay,
Jeremy.
You know
you've
what?
Made a cool
you know
thing.
What? You know what? Okay, you may be right. Like, rules is written, but, like, also, it tells you to just make up the rules. Shut up.
I've looked
shut
up.
Shut up! Stop
monster.
Listening to three black halflings while they just make everything up.
My mom says that I can make your rules up sometimes. Okay, so it is now this creature's turn. The creature, now having been, like, fully alerted, especially of you, Krusher, is going to... You see it, like, start to, like, rise up, and it poof, glomps onto this spike that, like, this tether connection.
Glomp?
Yeah, it's like the glomp. It's like the blob.
Okay.
Yeah, it just fully glomps. You're about to get glomped. Sorry. You're about to get glomped. And
you done got glomped, son.
Glomped! I need you to make me another wisdom saving throw.
Oh, boy.
And you feel like this connection start to vibrate intensely as it starts trying to... You feel like it's like suction on your own mind.
I got a nat 20. That is a 25 total for my wiz save.
This is
the rolls
this is so
continue.
Frustrating, but I'm also very impressed with these rolls. So it... Like, you feel like... It feels like something's, like, sucking on your brain.
Yeah.
And I think all of you see, like, Hoosier's mask features start to, like, blur. It's like when the Dementors in the Harry Potter movies just, like, try to do the Dementors kiss in the person's face, like... But they, like... And, like, pull it back in again. That was that, but then, the creature, rises up, another 10 feet, like, it rises itself up to 10 feet, and then reaches up and takes two swings at you, Unati's character, who has not yet been named.
Okay.
The first one is going to hit...
I really love how this is sticking with the theme that we don't name stuff.
We don't name anything.
No names. So
we just don't.
Both of those are going to hit.
Okay.
As it like rises up and takes some swings. So the rest of you see that this weird creature is now swinging on this woman who just shot it. I mean, to be fair, she did just shoot it. So
yeah.
I guess
it
has every right to be upset.
Yeah.
Mm.
You take 40 bludgeoning.
What?
And
you can't do that. I said that as a joke. You can't just say, oh, 19. Oh, sorry, no, double that. Like, what?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Unati's character is a warlock, right? Like, they're probably not like a tank.
The only one that's standing up
HP
to that.
How much HP do you have?
Kind of is
my
budge.
Guy. My guy, like, I'm done. I have 38 points of HP.
He dies right now.
We
never know the name of my character.
Hold on, hold on. Is this a spell or is it a feature?
No, this is just an attack.
I was going to try to counter spell that for you. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I've got counter spell as well, and I can't do anything about it. I'm on death saves.
You hear, I think as you are hit with this, you hear a wall of wails and screams. And once again, you hear, Mama, why is the sky black? It's okay, honey. It's okay. It's the judgment day. And
the world shatters
and you just collapse unconscious on the ground.
This is bad.
And then the creature starts to turn its attention to the, at this point, Hoosier, and I guess to a degree Rust, but mainly Hoosier, because that's where we have the connection.
Oh boy.
That's the end of its turn. Nebit, at this point. What is Nebit going to do?
Nebit is
going
to go ahead and cast Spare the Dying as a... Yeah.
Ooh. So fly up and touch.
Nice.
Fly up and touch.
Yeah, she's gonna fly up and hit. Yeah.
Okay. She flies up, lands, places a single paw, claw, talon on you, on her unconscious body, and casts Spare the Dying. You are stabilized.
Phew. As a bonus action, because that was a cantrip, wasn't it? I guess she'll cast. Cure Wounds on her as well, because on them as well, because why not?
Ooh! Oh no, you mean Healing Word. Healing
well,
Word.
Well, if she's touching, then that's
action.
Okay, right.
Oh yeah, but I think both of those are action spells.
Yeah, but...
Does
oh
she
yeah,
healing
sorry,
word?
Healing Word, yeah, because that's the bonus action, isn't it? That's the bonus action one. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I see.
As long as it's healing worth it. Yeah. She gives a like a friendly ha ha. And how much HP does Unati's character regain?
Well, let's find out. Ooh, okay. 3 plus 3, so 6.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Hey! After that very traumatic, and see this weird flamingo leopard thing just staring down at you. Very, like, these incredibly intelligent eyes, and it gives you a friendly, ha.
I'm just hella confused, but I'm grateful.
I'm up.
And finally, hey,
Mudge.
Something's happening. All right.
Get in there, buddy.
Okay, here we go.
Stop hanging back. I know that was your plan, but it's not ours. Come on.
This is tough because okay. Well, he's just going to do it, and if it has no effect, then, well, hey. He's going to cast Fairy Fire on these creatures in an attempt to make them some way easier to hit without the...
hit.
He senses that they seem to be having some kind of trouble.
Please narrate how giant gelatinous ooze dodges out of the way of Fairy Fire.
What does it look like when Budge casts... Oh, yes, we've described how Budge casts Fairy Fire before.
It's underwater light.
Yeah, starts to... But you see that same weird aura, like this field around it, start to rise up and try and repel this magic that you're casting down at it. It's going to roll... It's a dexterity saving throw?
It is indeed.
What's the DC?
14.
It rolled a natural 14 and gets a +3.
Well, great. This makes...
Sorry, I'm going to stop baiting the DM now. I'm just going to shut up. Sorry, everyone.
he's taking it out on me because I'm last, you see.
Yeah.
This is...
Yes, that unfortunately does not work.
Well, that makes Budge angry. Yeah. It's going to make him... He's going to get pretty angry. And he's going to start... He's going to rage. He's going to go into a rage. So he, he sort of starts very quickly, like, he puts his, interlocks his hands at the back of his head, and he looks down at the earth as if he's looking into the earth, through the earth, and he starts sort of gently stamping his feet, and he's muttering something that you can't quite hear or understand. And then eventually he says, "Spirits, come on out!" And he's going to rage and take form of the beast claws. So his forearms are going to turn into, like, basically two top crocodile jaws. So, like, the head of a crocodile in teeth on both his jaws, like this.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry, so everyone cool. is bringing the heat this season, my God.
Crocodile hands.
Crocodile hands? Give me a break.
He's
going
to take his full movement to go to walk. Well, how far away is the creature?
It's only 30 feet, so you can easily just run that right down.
Yeah, I'll run like 20 feet, get 10 feet away. So outside of, you know, yeah.
Okay. So you run down there, Budge with crocodile jaw hands. That's sick.
So cool.
It is back up to you, Unati's character.
Okay, cool. So Budge has run in about 20 feet.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, like, how much space is the creature taking up?
The creature is, I believe that the creature is huge.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of space.
Like a lot of space. So yeah. I want to cast on my turn, like, kind of saying thank you, child, to the weird bird. I kind of want to, like, use my Winchester to, like, help myself up. And I want to, like, cast... hunger of the bone eater. Like straight in like a 20-foot foot radius sphere, like far enough from Budge so it doesn't affect him, and far enough back so that he can like get some attacks in. But like I want to cast it like a good like 40 feet away from him, but centered on the creature.
Okay. Ooh. And the creature has to make what kind of saving throw?
A dex saving throw.
Okay. The creature does have advantage on this as well, but we'll see.
Damn it.
That's a natural 19.
Oh.
Everybody has good rolls
Boy.
Today. Does it take half damage?
No, hang on.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, it's a concentration spell, right?
Yeah.
So any creature that's starts. Okay, so essentially what you would all see is it doesn't actually have to make that save yet.
Oh, okay.
Because it's on its turn.
Oh, okay,
so don't worry, we won't count those rolls.
Okay, cool.
The rest of you see, like, I guess the rest of you would see that this
can I describe
that same
the thing?
Obsidian black jaws just like surround this ooze, and it mostly disappears from view.
Yeah.
You see, like, you see that the humanoids that are standing there, like, kind of look at each other. It's like this thing. And I think from inside of it, you can hear, like, the sounds of, like, squelching, sounds like cracking and crunching. You hear crackling. It's uncomfortably hot to be next to Budge. It's just like, ooh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And also, like, from inside of it, like, you hear, like, these, like, blood churning screams, like, like things trying to claw out of hell.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm stuck.
Boy. So, yeah, it ain't bright. So that, I don't, do you have any bonus actions?
Please, Lord,
no.
Say no.
Please say no.
Please.
Oh my God.
I don't think I have anything useful. No.
No. This also would drop Spirit Shroud.
Ah, that's fine.
You okay with that?
Yeah. So, like, okay. All of those, like, spirits that were, like, going around me, kind of, like, suck in and join into this massive, like, black mass and. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, that is, yeah, I guess all of you see that. Rust, this creature is now just, like, consumed in this.
Can I still hit it? Like, is it?
Yeah, you can still, I mean, by this point, I'll go ahead and say, it appears like these humanoid figures that are standing there, you can see, like, tethers,
mm-hmm.
like, connecting them back into this huge black mass.
Is the tether physical?
They're literally, it looks like the creature, like, straight up, like, glormed off some of itself. That's right, it glormed. Yeah. And created physical
It glorps,
beings.
It glorps. What doesn't yeah. it do? You know what I mean?
It glormed these things, and there you can see the glorp tether leading back into
Jeremy.
The, yes.
This may be shenanigans, but may I attempt to use my Lone Ranger ability to shoot the glorp tether?
Absolutely. Shoot that glorp.
Because obviously, like, the Lone Ranger ability is it basically makes a creature drop their, they have to make a save or they drop whatever they're, like, holding effectively, like a weapon. Mm-hmm. So could I try that?
Yeah,
because it'll still do damage to the creature. But yeah, I'm gonna give it a go.
So you're aiming specifically for the tether?
Yeah, so I'm going to aim for the tether. Like, I'm guessing this is like, is this like a bit of like a, I don't know if you've seen Rick and Morty, but like they've got like the things like attached to the back of the neck, like, and they're like floating around like we are all, you know, that kind of thing. Cool. So I'm going to aim for that and see if, I'm hoping that I can free these people. Let's see.
Roll an attack roll with disadvantage.
Make an attack roll with disadvantage. I won't do sharpshooter on this because I want to hit.
Okay.
Oh man, that the rolls went. Whew, that's a 1 and a 3.
Oh wow,
with disadvantage.
With disadvantage.
As you take your gun and aim it, you hear
Yep.
Oh, no.
And your gun completely misfires. You're going to need to use one of your attacks, potentially, to unjam it.
To attempt to fix. Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to think how Tovo is feeling right now. How far away is these? Is this tether?
You moved 15 feet within 15 feet of the creature. So
15 feet.
Yeah, 15 feet away.
Are they up high or are they down low?
The tethers are on the ground. Like you could theoretically go and step on one.
I will run over, as I do, Terminator style, my left hand. I kind of like throw it down towards the ground, and as I do, I pull up my Nimcha sword, my curved sword, and I'll be like, I don't really know how to use this, but here it goes. Tomo just looks super uncoordinated. Actually, it's like, whoa,
make me an attack roll.
If there's a possibility of super disadvantage, I feel like I need it.
There's no disadvantage in this case.
Oh, come on! I rolled a nat 20! I rolled a nat goddamn 20 and a 6, so that's a 10.
There's no disadvantage on this one. There's no disadvantage.
Oh, but I did roll 2. I will be fair and I'll re-roll 1. Because
roll 1.
Yeah, I'll roll 1. Even. Oh, I got a nat. Oh, goddamn it. No, it's a 15. My dude.
You run down. I don't know how to use this! As you're running, part of the Glorm tether goes... And you're like, oh! And your swing goes slightly off.
Can I instead trip on another Glorm tether? Like, I just miss one completely and just fully trip on it?
You land... you and the Glorm tether just fall together. And, like, you look at each other's eyes like, huh? The Glorm tether is just, like, it forms like a little face. And it says... Please save us. We don't deserve this.
I'm doing my goddamn best. You just tripped me up.
So now it is Hoosier's.
Well, I have still a bonus action, if I may.
Yeah, that bonus action.
I will go ahead looking at the situation, and I'm going to use my bonus action to cast Sanctuary on our new unnamed friend.
Okay, what does that look like?
Sanctuary. Okay, so the spell component for this is actually a little glass mirror. Is there a face that I can see on this creature, or do I get the assumption that it uses the people as its kind of eyes?
Those are the only faces you can
see. Okay, perfect. What I'm going to do is a little, like Iron Man style little mirror pops out of Tovo's shoulder, and it's just any light that there is finding the light and reflecting it in the eyes of, like, the people. So they're like, every time they go to, like, attack her, they're just getting, like, a little, like, burst of light in their eyes, like, like, they can't quite see properly. That's what it looks like.
There's, like, ambient light, you can tell, because some of the parts of this, like, this room used to not really be lit very much, but some of the, you can tell that some of the rocks and even some of the tracks in the area have been transformed so that they now glow. You can also see, like, off in the distance what look like flames just burning on, like, the edges of some of the tracks that have been, like, torn up and are facing up. Just multicolored flames. Like, cool. They're, like, pink and blue.
Very
and purple
cool. So, yeah, I'll basically be reflecting, using the mirror, reflecting the light of that and flickering it into their eyes so they're, like, off-put when they're trying to attack Inati.
So they have disadvantage on attacks?
No. They have to make a save in order to attack Inati.
All right, that is before Hoosier's turn.
Round
it is going to. It is now. Going
I got glomped.
before Hoosier's. Before Hoosier's turn, it is now. I'm going to need. I'm going to need Budge now to make a Wisdom saving throw.
Don't get absorbed, Budge. You hit you hard. This, please don't
come
get
on,
absorbed.
Come on now.
Please. I beg you, Budge.
Can I use my inspiration, please? What dice should I use for inspiration? Or
it's
got a bunch. Oh, fantastic. That is much needed. That's a natural 20. Thank you very much. For a 23.
Oh, yes.
So, Budge, as you're, like, standing next to this creature, one of the Glorms sort of looks over at you, takes a couple of steps over, and reaches out, and you hear. Embrace me, brother, for the time has come. sweet oblivion welcomes us all. And you, like, you feel that, you hear that same, like, scream, like, like, filling your ears, and you're just like, nah. I ain't high enough for this.
I'll embrace you, all right.
You manage to resist. Everybody's making their saves. You love to see it. Now it is Hoosier's turn.
Okay, question for Unati's character first. This shroud, does that mean we'll have disadvantage trying to attack the blob in the center? Is that going to affect how we attack it? Or is it just affecting it?
I think it's just affecting it. One second.
Okay.
I think what it does, it says it's impenetrable. No light, magical or otherwise, can illuminate the area. So I would say that if you have an AoE attack, you wouldn't have, like, it wouldn't affect you. But if you're making an attack roll into that mass, okay. Then...
I mean, we already have disadvantage, right?
Yeah, so nothing would really change.
Okay, good to know. And we also still just have disadvantage, like what Tofu just did, against, like, the tethered humanoids, right?
Well, actually, what he swung, he didn't actually have disadvantage on that. He
oh, interesting. Missed. Okay, good to know. Then in that
melee
case,
attacks
my...
don't have disadvantage.
My second question
melee
is...
Melee attacks, okay.
Looking at this thing with the creatures and the way it's tried to infiltrate our brains, right? Hoosier is going to pause for a minute, the scroll flapping like an ambient wind, like cock their head to the side. Are these figures like railway workers? Like, what's going on here?
You can roll an insight check with, well, not disadvantages. You can, as a bonus action, if you want to, you can roll an insight check.
You know what? Yeah, let's do that. I'm gonna, try to figure out what's making this creature click and, like, what it wants, what drives it, right?
Okay.
Okay, that is not great. That's a base 5 plus 5, 10 average.
Okay, well, there's children in among this mass of lorms. It does not look like... I mean, you would assume these probably would not be children working on this railroad. So you can guess from that, they're probably not railway workers, or at least if they are, if some of them are, not all of them are. But you don't know really what they are with a 10. You just know that they're probably not railway workers.
Okay, sounds good. In that case, I'm just gonna... can't get anything out of this. And I'm gonna flick to, like, a different page of my like, levitating, like, characters coming off the page of this scroll. And I'm gonna pick up, like, a set of characters that I haven't used before. They're gonna glow blue. And I'm going to cast Ice Knife at the little Ooh. Tethered things at a second level. So I create, like swirling, threading into existence in front of me is just like a sharp icicle, right, spinning, and I think it's like glowing like black, like pulsating with black light, like pretty much all of Hushu's magic. And Hushu's gonna just sort of punch their palm forward, and the icicle's gonna rotate, and spike side down, shoot, at the closest tethered humanoid thing.
All right, make me an attack roll with disadvantage.
Okay. That was a nat 20. Oh my god. Okay.
You hate to see it.
I feel your pain.
That was a 13 base plus 7 unnatural 20.
That hits.
Good.
That hits. Yes.
Good. All right. It is going to take, first off, 6 points of piercing damage as this thing just lances through its body and I think like sticks into the ground. And then there's going to be like a... like a pulsing sensation. Tovo, you can feel it almost like a vacuum seal, like sucking like at your metallic skin. And then the ice shard explodes. So the target that I just hit and each creature within 5 feet of the target must succeed on a dex save.
Okay, were you specifically aiming for one of the glorms that was not next to either Tovo or Budge?
I'm trying to hit... the central mass and not Tofu, if that's okay.
Okay, so you just shot it into the... Absolutely, yeah, nobody else is in trouble then.
Okay.
Because nobody else is close enough to the center mass.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, what's the save DC?
15. 15 dex.
It just makes it. Does it take half on a success? Or on a failure,
no.
That is?
No, it doesn't take any damage. But the target that I hit, the tether, also has to make the save.
Okay. You see that this blasts into the tether, and the tether seems utterly unaffected.
Huh.
Okay.
The tether you see just You can surmise that these tethers appear to be invulnerable so long as the central, like the central creature, is still alive.
Okay, but the target itself that I hit, like the little humanoid slime person,
that one went and took the damage.
Okay, cool. That's what I meant by like the target. I was specifically trying to hit that thing and the central blob. Okay,
but the blob itself is okay.
Okay,
and this is part of the blob essentially. Is what the tether is still attached.
Okay, so that it saved on the second one.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Then no worries. Then the shard just explodes, but I think maybe just like the shattered bits of ice just sort of like bounce uselessly like off like the central black mass and maybe just go through the humanoid target, but just like lance through it like without hurting it.
Do you have more that you were going to do?
I don't think so. All I want Hushu to do is, like, sort of shout out, like, who are you? Up at Unadi's character.
Oh, all right. Who are you, stranger? I was just in these parts. My name's Panya.
Yeah, Panya.
Panya.
There's a general sense of relief in the room as we finally know Unati's character.
Yeah, thank God.
is it Panya or Tanya?
Panya.
Panya.
Panya. Okay, Panya. Cool. And I'm assuming she/her pronouns Panya.
Yeah, she/her pronouns Panya. I mean, Hushu.
Okay, awesome. Hushu looks up at Panya and says, "It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm sure we'll have much to talk about after this beast is bested."
Yeah, hell let's yeah. take these this weird ass thing down.
Agreed.
Okay. That's the end of Hushu's turn.
Okay. The it is now the creature's turn.
Oh,
the
dear.
The tether that sort of was like looking at you, Tovo is going to lash out and swing at you now.
It doesn't have to though.
It didn't have to. It really didn't have to, but it did. It's just got an attitude. But it doesn't hit you because your AC is beastly.
It is.
Another one is going to swing out at you, Budge. That's okay. Right, Budge. You're going to be involved now.
No. Oh, boy.
That's right. Does I assume a 19 hits you.
Are those tethers starting their turn in the area of effect?
Oh, yeah. It needs to make a save.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Panya.
Okay. Does it travel? So it travels to...
15.
16?
15.
It's a wisdom dex, save or dex,
dex sorry,
save?
Dex.
Dex save. Well, for the first time, this creature has failed a saving throw. Like a second time in this battle. But it fails the saving throw. Go ahead and roll damage while that's happening.
Awesome.
Budge, does a 19 hit you?
It does just about.
Okay.
Cool.
So, Budge, you are going to take a little bit of damage here. From the thing that you just crashed into you. You take, as this thing lashes out at you, you take 8 bludgeoning damage, because that's already halved.
Is that my... Because I'm raging. So, yeah.
Yeah. 8 bludgeoning damage halved. Or the 8 bludgeoning damage is already halved. And plus 10 psychic damage.
Oh, dear.
We never even got to roll the psychic damage on Panya, but Budge is made of slightly sterner stuff. Budge, as this thing swings, you hear the screams again, like ambiently, and I think now that you are close, you constantly are hearing these sounds. Just... And you hear this just crackling, and as it hits you, you have a vision once again of that day. Looking up at the sky as it changes colors, you see it like flashing black and purple and red. It looks like it's on fire. Looks like it's made of stones. Looks like it's suddenly made of glass. And you're just like, what is going on? That sense of like wonder and awe and also terror once you see the things around you start to warp. But in this moment, you realize this, as you look down at yourself and see yourself warping, you're not looking at Onuris Budge's body. You're looking at the body of a child. A child who's standing inside of a city, standing next to their mother. And you look up at your mother and you say, "Mother, why is the sky black?" And she looks down at you and says, "It's okay, baby, don't worry." And someone else walks by and says, The sweet arms of oblivion have come to take us all. And as the, as this happens, you flash out of that, but you still hear the and the ambient sounds in your mind as it does that. And now I need Usher to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh my god, so many whiz because saves! I'm bound to
glomping again.
Fail one of these, huh? Yeah, okay, no, I failed this one. I got an 8.
Oh boy. This could be painful. So, Hoosier, you take...
I'm just a wizard, sir!
Yes!
I'm just a little wizard! You, I'm a squishy.
You are an unconscious wizard, I believe, because
oh, no.
you take 33 points.
Yeah, I'm out. Okay, hold on.
Hoosier, in this moment, you feel that sucking sensation again inside of your head, and this time you feel it starting to pull from your memory, and you start to lose memories. Like, you see different, you remember the taste of your favorite dish, just the way that your room looks, the moment when you were getting into the chamber in preparation for the event, gone. Like, a moment when your mother smiles at you, just like, and all these different memories from across your lifetime just sucked out of your mind, as you, the rest of you see Hoosier collapse to their knees and then unconscious on the ground.
Yeah, I think my scroll just drops. It doesn't even turn back into, like, the little tiny scroll on the tassel. It just, and, like, the characters just, like, stop glowing. They, like, fall back onto the page and, like, just turn into ink again, and the scroll drops and starts rolling down the incline, I think, because I'm at the top of this incline. And I just, I drop to my knees, and I drop my sword as well, and it also clatters to the floor. And I think as I crumple to the ground, like, Hushu's mask falls off. It just crumbles, like, off their face. But they're face down. Constant. Don't worry. Face
it's
reveal.
It's still a mystery.
It's still a mystery.
Turbo still.
Face reveal at 10,000 subs.
Turbo still turns away. Just in case.
Yeah, I'll be making now, death saves.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But before that happens, how much damage, Panya, does this creature take? Because it both started and ended.
Yeah. So it, does it have to do the deck save at the end as well?
It failed.
It failed
that because it automatically takes the. You get to choose whether it's fire or necrotic.
So it's gonna take 10 fire damage.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it takes another batch of damage. Yeah, as it leaves in the same space.
Yeah.
So that's 9 points of necrotic damage.
Ooh, just
yeah.
The so same, like,
sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For 19.
You can't
total.
See it, but it's feeling it. It's feeling it.
Okay.
It's feeling the burn.
Okay, cool.
Okay, now it is Nebit's turn.
Okay, so Nebit's gonna, who was up with Panya. At this point, she's going to turn her head and see that Hushu has collapsed and is going to take off and soar down to them and just start, like, licking their, like, the available, like, whatever flesh is there, like, whatever looks damaged, and just licking them. And she's going to cast... Cure Wounds.
Nebit is the MVP.
And she's going to cast Guiding Bolt on Hoosier.
Yeah. Nebit is the MVP of
coup de grace.
Unexpected switch sides.
Forget I'm there, will you? Nebit holds a mean grudge.
So that's wisdom mod, right? So 8. So
eight, thank God. Okay,
you heal eight hit points there.
I pop back up.
I guess as a bonus, just for flavor, as she doesn't have any useful bonus actions, she's going to fly and get the. Can she fly and just grab the scroll that was started falling down the hill and just thrust her head with it back into Husha's like Jess.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I'm happy for her to return all of Hoosier's dropped items. Along, she can even sort of scoop up the mask and hold that out.
Oh, yeah, that might be a good idea. Yeah, yeah.
Does Nevit
the only one who's seen
Hoosier's
face.
Yeah, Nevit gets a glance of the face as the mask goes back on.
Nevit takes a look and you hear Nevit go,
What is she reacting to? Oh, my. The mistress.
She like looks back at the rest of you guys like,
how do I know that that bird just said, oh, damn?
I just know
that it did.
that's Nevit's turn. It's down to you, Budge.
Come on, Budge.
Okay. So,
we gotta let's do this.
Budge did not enjoy seeing that. So he's like, no, I did not want to see that. And he's going to... So... The crocodile jaws kind of remain how they are, but the rest of him is going to start growing thick fur. His hindquarters are going to get much, much bigger. His arms are going to get larger. His head becomes that of an Atlas bear, a huge, like, dark brown with a white, like, a pale sort of snout. So as a bonus action, I'm going to combat wild shape into an Atlas bear.
Between Mooty last season and Budge this season, we do body horror like no other podcast. Like, between Mooty's weird antler legs extending out of his chest and this. Like,
wow.
So let me just get this together.
You can roll me an attack, some attack rolls.
I will roll you some attack rolls. I think he's pissed. So this first one's going to be reckless.
Yes. Oh, all of them get to be reckless.
Does that cancel out disadvantage?
Yeah, cancels out all. Well, yeah. There is no disadvantage because you're making melee attacks.
Okay.
You just attack all of your attacks with advantage now.
All of my attacks with advantage. Great. I'll do that.
Yes.
Cool. Oh yes, 22 to hit. Second one is 21 to hit. The third one will be 23 to hit.
All three of those hit, my man. Roll damage.
All right, so... Come on. So...
Kill this thing!
Take it out.
12 damage for the first attack. 11 damage for the second attack. 10 damage for the third attack. So 12 plus 11 plus 10. So that's 33, I think? 33 damage total. Oh, actually, I didn't add my rage modifiers. So that's...
Oh, so that's another 6.
Plus another 6, so 39
Whoa.
Damage total.
Yes! Budge, how would you like to dispatch... Please describe for me... Yeah! Oh, what's a good Western term that we can use? What's a good Western term we
take
can use?
Take a shot or something like that? Like,
Budge. Take the shot, Budge! Take the shot!
Okay, so...
you have to scream it every time.
How about, what is it, draw? No, fire? No.
Draw.
Yeah, we'll stick with take the shot for now. Take the shot.
Okay.
I like that.
So he's basically just like pounced headlong onto this blob, this mass, and he's going to clamp down with both his crocodile his crocodile jaw hands, and he's going to do the classic like crocodile kill. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but like the they just roll. Spin ridiculously quickly.
Yes, and
the thing is like twisting up like an overwrought sponge, like you're squeezing out this life from a sponge, and it's just going to twist and twist and twist, and eventually you just hear this like final just. And it just sort of stops moving. And
sick things.
Oh, man. Okay, so Budge, as you like... and start death rolling like a madman, I love that there's a death rolling bear. It's like the chonkiest animal. Like,
welcome to D&D.
Doing like a weird death rolling bear. just tearing this thing up. With every spin... you get another flash of a memory of another person.
Mm.
You see, like, and each of these people are like, wah! And I think as you're doing this, especially because of your hat, it's like you're able to, you with your hat feel like you are able to, if you chose to, make a connection with one of these people, if you were to choose to do so. Because you see that these, like, you, as you see these people, you recognize these as, like, memories. Like, these are minds that are touching yours in real time. Whatever happened to them clearly happened to them in the past. But from your perspective, because of this temporal craziness, it's happening, for all intents and purposes, right now. If you wish to, you can create a mental link with those people.
Okay. With one of them. Okay. Yes. So from what I'm seeing swirling around, I mean, you know Budge's backstory. You know what happened to him. Mm-hmm. Given that, is there any particular person that stands out to him as being sort of reminiscent or anything like that?
I think even though none of these people, like, you're not from this region, but I think the two that stand out to you are the mother and the little girl looking up at the sky. Mm. I think that's the one that you resonate the most with, like, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to connect with I'll connect with the little girl, because they tend to see children tend to see the truth unclouded by what they've been brought up with.
All right. So as you do this, I won't make you roll anything because you're killing this creature. You feel your mind reach out and you can sense her emotions. You feel her fear. You feel like her confusion, her like just complete bewilderment. You can go deeper and stay with her. Is there anything that you would like to communicate to her in this moment?
I don't know. What was this place once like? Is this where she was? Like, is her consciousness here now as well, or is it just stuck constantly replaying this what happened?
I think that you gain an understanding that her consciousness is here, and you are looking at the last thing that she experienced before everything changed. And she is in a bustling, beautiful Izemian city, very, like, vibrant culture, you know, people moving this way and that, but everyone at this moment has stopped and is staring at the sky. You can tell sorry, go ahead.
Unless you have anything, like, the person more to say.
Essentially that you feel like she, as you touch her mind, you feel her become aware of you.
I'll just say, this thing, it happened a long time ago. You're not there anymore. You're part of something. If you can free yourself, then try to do it.
I don't know where to go. How do I get out? I've been in here for so long.
Have you ever tried to wake yourself up from a bad dream? Maybe try that. Just wake up, pinch yourself or something. I don't know.
You see, her mom is like not even like looking at the child anymore. The mom is just staring at the sky, tears running down her face. The daughter, still holding onto her mom's hand, squeezes her eyes tight and then pinches herself at the very moment that you feel the shockwave roll over this place. You see that, like, her skin starts to flutter, turn scaly. It starts to, like, shed from her, looking like a lizard or something shedding its skin. But, like, as it's happening, more and more of her, almost like dust, is just, like, sliding away. You see that her body starts to warp. And, like, everything, the whole space around you starts to, like, bend in. And you see, like, one person's head is just growing, like, bulbously large. Another person, like, their entire lower half seems to be, like, retracting into their upper half. The little girl just seems to be getting blown, almost dissolving from this. And you feel her consciousness leave her body, but stay in the same spot. And, like, she gets this sense of, like, like, I think you even see her almost separate from her body, like a spectral version of her looking down, holding, instead of her mother's hand, in the hand that once held her mother's hand, she now holds a heart, a child-sized heart, and in the other hand, she holds a feather. And she looks down at the two of them, and she's like, was that good? Do I get to go? And she holds her hands out, and you see they're level with each other. She says, they weigh the same.
Does that mean I can leave?
Oh my god.
I think so. I think so, little one.
She smiles and says, okay. And starts to try and move and can't quite.
I don't know if I can use any kind of spells or anything here, but I'm just going to, like, if I can, if I have any kind of semblance of a physical being, I just want to lift the hand that's holding the heart, just push it up, just as like, see if I can just lift it up slightly.
You take this spectral hand, lift it just up. I think this is the first time that you've appeared, like, corporeally here.
Yeah.
How would you describe Budge's corporeal hands as he takes her hand? Do they still look like the jaws?
These have reverted to the pre-calamity, like, fully human hands.
Okay.
So it's just his hand. It's just his old
you,
hands.
You raise her hand and tell her to let go?
Yeah.
Of the heart?
Of her troubles.
She you see the hand that holds the feather lets go. You see the hand that holds the heart turns. The heart slides out, disappears. She looks at you with tears in her eyes. Behind her, you see the man whose head was swelling. It looks like it was swelling with some kind of a fluid, and it swells to such a size that it can no longer hold its own mass, and it seems to, like, burst, and out of this head comes pouring a black and red goo that slides down over the man. At this very moment, you start to see, like, around him, you start to see flashes of, like, other places. You see, like, this super incredibly lush forest. You see a place that is entirely made of flames. You see a place that appears to be some kind of city in the sky. Just, like, you're seeing it, like, almost through this man's body. And then you see a place that looks cold and dark and full of stars. And through that, you start to see his body pulse and grow larger and larger, this gelatinous mass. And as everything else around is destroyed, you see, looking around you, all of these people, where all of them stood, you see their spectral forms there, rooted to the ground, and this blob starts to turn, and you hear the sound as one of the tendrils rises up and points towards the girl. And it starts to slide in her direction.
God. Okay. Sheesh. I'll push her out the way and just dive and just grab the tendril. Just take a hold of it. I mean, I don't know what I've got to hand now, because we're in a totally different, you know, place.
Exactly. You grab her.
So
and
I'm just going to grab it. I push her to the side.
Yeah, start to pull her out of the way and push her aside. As you do this, this creature starts to slide towards you. You have nothing on you. You have no powers here. This thing sees you and her, and it's together. Now, Budge, you know that you were not in this time. But you are now. You know that you can't escape this thing unless you leave. You know that no matter what, this girl is going to be consumed. It already happened. She's already there. It's the only way you're able to be here. Do you choose to stay with her, or do you leave her to her inevitable fate and save yourself?
What? Jeremy, what?
What the actual?
It's session four, man. Come on. Can I replace her here?
What? You want to try and replace her here? Okay, here's what I will do. Roll me.
Johnny's now playing as a little girl for the rest of the campaign.
Roll me. What would you say Budge's connection to the spirit world? What stat would you associate with Budge's, or what ability score would you associate Budge's connection to the spirit world with? Would it be insight?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. He's got a good... He likes to read people.
Okay.
And go and get inside minds and stuff, yeah.
Roll me an insight check to see if you are able to, in some way, protect this little girl.
Why did I use up
and
my
inspiration? I'm going to call this a DC 18.
Come on! Come on, Budge!
There's no way we can help you here.
It's a 17 plus 6. That's a 23.
Okay.
Would have been better if it was 22, but you know.
Budge, you feel the empathy the refusal to allow this to happen to this girl once again in this moment, and you stand your ground, and you feel it's. I think you feel your. I think a feeling that you haven't felt in a long time, except it may not in this way. I think you felt it. You felt it in a way, but not quite in this way. You feel love, but not the kind of love that you feel for Nebit. I think you feel a fatherly love in this moment, something that you have not felt for a very, very long time. And your love radiates out of you, that same feeling of being underwater, that it cloaks her from behind you, and as this slime just... and starts to slide over you, you feel her being encased in this watery shield. And it slides over you. You can feel it starting to take parts of your mind and start to absorb you into itself. And you can feel like your connection to this whole vision just going. And you hear from behind you, "Thank you. I'll never forget you." And as it rises over your eyes and everything goes black, you feel sweat dripping down. You feel fur. You feel jaw, claw, hands. You feel yourself back inside of the tunnel. But something has changed. Budge, you feel that there is, as much as you were absorbed, something was left inside of you as well. And you can feel it deep inside, just bristling under the surface. The rest of you see that this this creature seems to have just
we just
dissipated.
See this thing get turned into a fruit rinder, right?
Like, yeah, you see it shreds, dissipates. I think those of you who have had connections to it here or are close enough hear like those same screams. Those of you who were touched by it, you hear the screams fading and then dispersing, almost with a sigh, and you see Budge standing victorious.
Oh, get up slowly. Thanks, Butch. I was having a tough time of it in that fight. You did well, man. You did very well, my man. How is everybody? I'll just sort of be scanning around. Do I sense anything from Budge? Like, does Budge look okay?
I think Budge is just a bear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Budge is a bear.
I'm still a bear.
Good boy. I'll give him a head scritch.
Oh, like, yeah, he bristles slightly.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Panya's gonna make her way down and go over to the weird bear crocodile thing.
Mm-hmm. You sort of like hang down for a second and swing yourself over and parkour, just like do a somersalt.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, she's not that amazing. The only amazing thing about her is her gun.
Sprawl out.
Yeah, she kind of like slides down the wall. Like, her gun is the most amazing thing about her, okay? And she kind of makes her way over and, if I have to make like some kind of check to like deal with like a distressed sort of animal creature, because that's what I'm seeing currently, just kind of like stroke like the really antsy bear creature and try and get into its line of sight, and just like I don't know what kind of role I need to do just to like calm him down, or like just like yo,
If you see him as an animal, roll animal handling.
Okay, because I mean I don't know these people, so I don't know. There's a lot happening, so I'm assuming.
Yeah, I reckon state he's in at the moment. Animal handling is probably your best bet.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a 21.
Ooh, Budge, how does a 21 animal handling affect you in this moment?
I guess like the first contact, similar to when Rust touched me, I would flinch like a bit. But then there's like, well, actually, I mean, can I make an insight check and just see like what intentions Ponya has?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Or just like what she's all about. Poor, pretty poor. Oh, actually, well, I've got a plus. So 15 total.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like with a 15, like you can kind of hear like a small little like song just being muttered under her breath, and she's really just trying to calm. That's it. It's just calming, with no judgment or questions or expectations, just holding space would be the term. She's just holding space for you.
Okay. DM, just a quick clear up. The mm-hmm. thing that Budge feels inside him, mm-hmm. The nature of which, because I'm 50-50 on this, is it that of the girl, or is it that of the creature?
Here's what I will say. In this moment, you feel two different things. In fact, you feel one thing and you hear another. You feel something under your skin slithering around.
Oh.
Like under your whole skin, just slithering smoothly under the surface. And in your mind, you hear, "Mister, where am I? Where's my mom? Mister, where's my mama?"
Okay. At the calming, from the calming touches and the song, from Ponya, you see. The crocodile jaws and then the rest of the fur of the shape of the bear's head just retract and sort of fold in on itself into a vaguely human shape, at which point human skin seemed to sort of grow and join over all of these appendages, and Budge becomes his usual mostly human self. And just as he grows a mouth that can speak again, he goes, "Ah, fuck."
And I think that's as perfect a place as any to end this episode.
Yes.
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 Thank you all for tuning in. That was a wild and crazy episode of
I am Troms.
We're all going to quickly decompress, have a little conversation after this to make sure everybody's okay. But before we do that, Connie and Johnny, would you like to plug yourselves if you could gather your emotions and minds enough?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know, man.
So, I'm Connie, pronouns they, he, she. I play Chang Hushu, who is the one-hit wonder, I guess. Knocked out in one hit by this horrific creature. What the hell, Jeremy?
What? Connie is normally the smooth... I have never, ever... heard Connie not nail this, and it was even then it was
yeah,
just
I can't believe you
I'm Connie,
Connie is...
what wait I can't even do this, what the fuck, Jeremy?
What?
Hang on a second.
Jeez. Episode four, friends.
I'm so scared, I don't want to go any further.
16.
Let's end this thing now.
Oh my god,
do this
let's
anymore.
End this now. Yeah, you know, your Nazi's been here for a episode and she's out
of the show. I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm going to finish up my outro. You can find me on Twitter at ByConnieChong, Itch, and Patreon as well. I DM for Transplanar RPG, which is an all-trans POC-led D&D 5th edition campaign. We stream Saturdays at 3 p.m. U.S. Central Time on Twitch at Transplanar RPG, and we also have a podcast out on your favorite podcasting platforms. Just search Transplanar RPG. Give us a follow. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That helps us a lot. Genuine question for you, Jeremy. Are we going to get to level up during the course of this campaign at all?
Yes, okay. You are.
Okay, good.
Good, okay, thank God.
You just defeated a very, very powerful creature, so there's going to be a lot of XP from this one.
Nice. Okay. And with that, I will pass along outros to Johnny.
Okay. Yeah, Johnny. Do this with some enthusiasm.
Huge crisis of identity. I'm Johnny Charles. I am the resident bard for Three Black Halflings. You can find Musical Shenanigans on Instagram at the_lonely_orchestra. And if you would like a bespoke custom soundtrack or piece of music produced for your podcast, indie game, audiobook, or yoga session, then slide on up into my DMs. But give it like a week, because I've got a lot of things to unpack right now after that session, so I need to decompress.
This isn't coming out for a minute, so you're okay. Yeah. You're okay. Hit Johnny up straight away.
Still be decompressing.
Yeah. We'll have a whole bunch of other horrors to contend with by the time this comes out. So. Yeah.
Thank you all for tuning in once again. This is Three Black Halflings. We're a Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
We are.
You can find us wherever pods are cast. We do a whole talk show thing. If you've only heard this, you should really go listen to the other thing.
Yeah.
That's really good, too. That's like the bread and butter of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost like a side
This is
thing.
The filling. This is the nice, tasty filling.
It's not as traumatizing. It's not as
I would say it's actually pretty healing, the main show. We do it with laughter.
You know the parts
fun.
Where we were laughing during these first four episodes?
Nope.
It's more of that.
No, I don't remember a single fucking laugh, Jeremy. All I remember is someone's head swelling up, filled with red ooze or some shit. No.
Like,
I don't remember anything else.
Jeremy, you're delusional.
I just remember some Resident Evil shit.
Cosmic
okay?
horror.
Yeah.
On that note, thank you so much.
Make sure if you want to, if you want to hear more of us melting down over the absolute horror of this show, make sure you check out our Patreon, because we'll have our like talk show, like a talk.
We're
going
to call them campfire chats.
That's the one.
Campfire chats. Home on the range, folks.
We're going to be having some campfire chats where we dig into these episodes. There you
guys, I'm going to be talking to my agent. I'm sorry, I'm getting I'm out.
This show just became non-binge friendly.
Yeah.
Tell you what, man, it's the even episodes. They're the traumatic ones.
Mm.
All right. That's it. Also, you can find us at TB Halflings on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yes. And Yunati, we can follow you on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, I'm around. LU Luis Niao or Luyanda Luis Niao. Some permutation of Luyanda or Nati Luis Niao. Just move the letters around and you'll find.
You can find me on Instagram at Jasper W. Cartwright, or you can find me on Twitter at JW_Cartwright. And I am going to lie down.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note.
Fuck you, Jeremy.
Bye-bye. So long, Shire folk. You see, Connie. You see what you've done to Connie. You see what I have to contend with, Connie.
You've broken me.
I've been broken.
So long. And maybe so long and farewell forever. I don't know. I don't know if I'm coming back.
It's not all going to be like this. I can tell you right now. It's mostly light.
No, mostly it's not, time. Jeremy.
Don't
Stop
lie to us, Jeremy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.